Going through this series, each week is a different thing that Jesus is dealing with. And today, it just so happens that last week we talked about the parable of the sower and what the soils look like in our life. And, you know, we talked about the fact that there might be different times in our life that we have different soil. That I kind of grew up thinking that it was just one time and one type of soil, and you either were good soil or you were bad soil. The problem with that is that life is ever-changing, and that sometimes God takes our calloused and hardened hearts and softens them and changes us from thorny soil to good soil, from hard rock paved soil to good soil. And so God has this ability in the way of just touching us and changing us through time and through the casting of his seed, his word, and being shared with us. And today we're going to talk about that seed again, but in a little different format. So Mark chapter 4 is Jesus talking, and I thought about the baptisms today, and I thought about this idea that God is up to something. Have you ever noticed how God is always doing something in your midst? That if you take time to just kind of look and pay attention, it may be subtle or it may be huge. I mean, it may be something that just knocks your socks off and just causes you to go, whoa, look at what God is doing. Or it might just be something as subtle as the beauty of a sunrise or a sunset. But God is up to something. God is changing hearts and lives in ways that we can't even imagine. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, it says, "And Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age.'" He gives them this great commission, this commandment of what I want you to do. And at the end he says, by the way, I'm always going to be with you. No matter what you go through, no matter what you face, no matter what is happening in your life, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Guys, I'm going to be with you. You can do this. I'm thankful for that encouragement, because it's at those times in life where things start to fall apart, we need God to tell us, by the way, I haven't left you and I haven't forsaken you. Go make disciples, go baptize them, go teach them to obey all the commands that I have given you. We need God's reassurance that he's not left us alone during that task. Aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you thankful you don't have to do it alone? You don't have to parent alone. You don't have to do your marriage alone. Matter of fact, if you decide to try and parent alone and try to parent and try to run your marriage alone, you're probably going to find yourself miserable, aren't you? You're going to find those moments where things are just falling apart because you tried to do it on your own. I'm thankful that God never leaves us nor forsakes us. This great commission was given to the 12 disciples directly by Jesus 2,000 years ago, and today it still drives what we do as a church. It's the reason we do what we do and when we do it. It's what drives our bus, so to speak. It is the very thing that causes us to make the decisions we make and to do things that we do. Why? Because God has commissioned us to go and make disciples, to continually share his word, to see what he can do in hearts and lives of people that are far from him. It's the reason that we ask the questions, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do in this very situation? What would he do at this moment in time? If Jesus was here in our midst, what would he do? How would he do it? It causes us to ask those questions and then to obey him and follow him. It's the reason this church was started in 1832. It's the reason this church has built 5 different buildings over that history. It's the reason the church planted Second Baptist Church of Newark. It's the reason we do what we do. Why? Because it's all tools. It's all tools to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That's all it is. This stage is a tool. This music stand is a tool. The carpet, the lights, the mics. Whether it's a Makita, a DeWalt, a Milwaukee, Porter Cable, for those of you who can't afford a Milwaukee, right? It's just a tool. We use screws and we use bolts and we use wrenches. We use ratchets. They're tools. Ladies, in case I lost you, it's why we have mixers. It's why we have skillets. It's why we have saucepans and refrigerators and freezers and microwave and ovens. and stoves. It's so we can do the job of cooking, of preparing the food. We don't create the food, we just simply prepare the food so that it can be shared. Isn't that crazy? We take a seed and we put it in the ground and out comes a tomato, and people like Bud and I come along and pick it early and we fry it up and we eat it, green fried tomatoes, because we like green fried tomatoes. And for those of you who don't like those, we wait for you to get the red ones and we let you make tomato and ketchup and tomatoes, yeah. We let you make ketchup and tomato sauce and spaghetti sauce, right? And we just use these tools to prepare the food so we can share it with those around us. Some of you are excellent at preparing and sharing. Some of you use a microwave because you're not as excellent as others and frozen dinners, right? And whatever, right? But they're all tools simply to share this food, this seed that was sown that grew something spectacular that we eat. It's all tools used to make a difference in the hearts and the lives of people around us. We don't modify the Word of God. We don't modify the seed. We simply use different tools to present it. At this church, we do Living Nativity. We do VBS. We do Talk Back. Used to do Sunday School. They're just tools. Tools to share the Word of God. Tools to show people who Jesus was and what Jesus wants to do in their life. They're just tools. An opportunity to take the seed, to take the Word of God and cast it or sow it so it can make a difference in the hearts and lives of people. It's just tools used to make a difference in lives. Today we baptize 9 people who at some point in their journey made a decision to accept and follow Jesus as their Lord and Savior. 9 different people on 9 different journeys, but at some point Jesus got a hold of their heart and changed them from the inside out. And now they are transformed and being changed in the image of Christ, little by little, day by day, scripture by scripture, prayer by prayer, as Jesus changes them and makes them into the follower that he created them to be in the first place. As I was preparing this message, where did Cody go? Did he sneak out? Cody, you're hiding back. Your family's up here, dude. What are you doing? He's embarrassed by his family. Cody's an amazing story. When Cody was 17-ish, I think, we picked him on a church bus and took him to church with us in a youth group, and he was a juggalo, part of the ICP clan, the Insane Clown Posse, or their inner city posse, as they originally were called. I actually read about them. They're weird, by the way. And he was dressed like a juggalo, which simply means he was black head to toe. He had pants that were this wide at the bottom, and he was got on a bus, and he's riding to church, and we fed him, and he hung out with us, and he looked at Seth, and he said, I just want you to know, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God or things of God. I just came because this pretty girl over there invited me, I think. I'm not sure how he got there, but it had to do with a girl. Let's see, Mom shaking her head. It had to do with a girl. It was Ashley, all right? Incredible. First day he comes and he's, I don't want anything to do with anything you got to say. And Seth talked to him on the bus and shared with him a little bit. And he said, I don't believe, I don't want anything to do with it. I think another month before he came back, and he came on and off sporadically for a little while. And finally he started coming regularly. His clothes started to change. Heart started to change a little bit. And finally, I think it was September, I don't remember what year, God got a hold of his heart and he gave his life to Christ. And he no longer was an atheist. Now he's a follower of Jesus. He's been a part of our church now for 6-7 years. And just a blessing to us. But he has this lady by the name of Carrie, who's his mother. And she has attended church with us on and off for a while. And God got a hold of her heart, as you heard her testimony. And he's got this brother named Zach. Zach's wife, Summer. Their daughter, Jade. And I can't remember, what's the baby's name? Lennox, okay, Jade and Lennox. And God got a hold of their heart and started doing this amazing thing. Because somewhere along the line, someone cast a seed, someone shared the Word of God, and it took root. And it grounded. And it spread out. And it started to work in their life and started to change them in an incredible way. And I can go down through almost every pew and tell you a similar story, how God just kind of got a hold of the situation. Tiffany, I remember when we were pretty worried about you. Mom prayed a lot. We joined her. and other people prayed a lot. And Billy, you were out for quite a while, right? He showed up one day and said, "Hi, I'm Billy George." I said, "I don't know who Billy George is." Julia remembered him, shared with me his story. He shared with me his story. God got a hold of his heart, changed his life, and that's why we're here today. It's incredible. As I go through pew by pew, person by person, story by story, I can tell you how God has worked and working in their lives. Christina, you know, she said something really cool in her testimony and something that she told me in her Facebook Messenger. She said, "Your sermons I understand, and it's helped me understand the Word of God." He says, "And in talk back, I learn how to apply it in my life." You see, that's a billboard for a pastor. That's a billboard. I learned something at TalkBack that then causes me to then understand how to apply the Word of God in my life. It's teaching to obey what Christ commanded. It's amazing to see what God is up to. God is up to something in the hearts and lives of individuals here. I don't know how many we baptized over the years. We got to be close to 50 or over 50 in the 5 years I've been here. I just praise the Lord for that. It had nothing to do with me, right? It's just what God's doing. God is up to something. In Mark chapter 4, verses 21 to 29, he continues to tell us what he's up to. Verse 21 says this, "And he said to them," this is Jesus, "do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on a stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. Consider carefully what you hear." He continued, "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more, and whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him." He also said that this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day, and whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows. Though he does not know how, and all by itself the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. And as soon as grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. Isn't that amazing? You ever planted a seed and then watched it grow and then baffled at how it turned into an apple tree or a tomato plant or an onion that stays in the ground, right? A potato that stays buried. Isn't it fascinating how you just put this seed, you water it, and you go to bed, and next day you wake up, and you don't see nothing, but something's happening. And little by little, over time, it sprouts and it grows. And that's the Word of God, as it sprouts and grows in the hearts of each and every one of us. First thing I see when I look at this passage is, number one, we must let the light of Jesus shine. We must let the light of Jesus shine. We can't hide it. We must let it shine. There are too many lives at stake. There's too much counting on us to shine this light in the darkness. There's too much counting on us to share this good news. I know sometimes it's difficult to share. Sometimes it's hard to share. I was thinking of my father-in-law who passed away, and I was thinking of how he was a very quiet man. Oh, he would talk once he knew you, and he would talk to you, but he didn't have a lot of biblical discussions with his kids and with those around him, but with me, he would have those discussions. I'm a preacher, so we're supposed to know things, so he would talk to me about those, like some of my other friends, right? You're supposed to know, so I'll ask you the question. So him and I would have some really cool conversations, but he wasn't necessarily someone who would put out what we would call a spotlight for Jesus. But he let his light shine in the way he loved and the way he lived. If you talk to his children, they'll tell you there's never been a nicer man or a kinder, gentler man than him. I look at my wife and I say, "Better than me? Yes, honey, much, much better than you," right? A man who light shines by the way he lives and loves and obeys the commands that Jesus gave. So whether you're a spotlight and you shine it everywhere you go, or you're just a light that no matter where you go, people see the love of God, it doesn't really matter. God created us all different on purpose. But let our light shine. Romans chapter 10, verses 8 to 15 says this. But what does it say, talking about the word? The word is near you and is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth Jesus Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there's no difference between Jew or Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they that call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? And as is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. How are they going to know unless we tell them? Unless we spend the time to share this incredibly good news. Second thing I see when I look at this passage, Jesus teaches you must be put, that what Jesus teaches you must be put in action. That what Jesus teaches you must be put into action. He said, go make disciples and teach them to obey all that Jesus commanded. And the things that we're taught, we must put into action. It's not, James says, it's not enough to hear the word, but you must be a doer of the word also. You've got to take these things that you learn and grow with and start to live them out in your life. And by doing that, you're letting your light shine. And by doing that, it starts to make an impact and a change in the world we live in. God is up to something. Third thing and final thing is God does the growing and the transforming. God does the growing and the transforming. You ever know someone who wants to do God's job for them? You know what I'm talking about. The person who wants to come along and change the person, force them to become what they think God wants them to be instead of letting God do the changing and transforming. The problem with that is twofold. One, it never ever works because you are fallible and you mess up and they don't listen to you. But something happens that when God gets a hold of them, he starts to do this changing and transforming in ways that you never see and never understand. It's like this seed that goes in the ground, and when the roots start to come out and things start to happen, we don't necessarily see it, understand it. We go to bed, we sleep, we rest, we relax, and all of a sudden this thing's growing in the heart, in the life of the person that you've been praying for, that you've been sharing the good news with. And we try to trim it and prune it, and once again, let God do the pruning, let God do the trimming. We got to share the word and we got to be faithful in the teaching, but God does the transforming. I've tried it. I've tried to make somebody change. One of my favorite lines on All in the Family, does anybody remember All in the Family? Do you remember when, Archie looked at Edith who was going through the change? And it was driving him absolutely nuts. And you know how you get animated and he'd start yelling and screaming? He said, Edith, just go ahead and change. And he did all of these. He said, Edith, just change. And we try that. It doesn't work. But when God comes along and starts to work in their heart and their life, last week in the parable of the sower, work the soil, start to work in their life, this seed grows, the change comes, it transforms, and they become this incredible person that God created them to be. It's hard for us sometimes to let go, isn't it? Keep your hands down. Many of you OCD people out there who want to do the changing, right? You want to do the transforming? I know how to take care of it. I know what to do. I can handle it. I get you. But man, if you just back off and let God do his thing, you'd be amazed at what happens in the hearts and lives of people. All these things we're talking about, from the building to the sermons to the music to the mic stands to the wiring to the lights to the stained glass windows, they're all just tools. They're all just part of what we use to share this good news. Because behind the scenes, when the Word of God, Jesus is the Word, and when the seed is sown, when Jesus, good news, gospel message is shared, it starts to take root and change lives. And we do what we do to share this good news. And we update things and we change things and we transform things so that maybe, if God tarries, this church will be here another 100 years sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're called to. You ever wonder if the generation of 1832 could have imagined this today? Car, what's a car? Microwave, what is that? Stovetop stove? Glass top stove, I mean? What is... My wife gets a piece of wood and a wood box stove and she makes me corn muffins. I saw it on TV once. Could they have imagined what God would be up to? To those who faithfully served and gave of their tithes and offerings and helped build this church, could they have ever dreamed that this is what this would become? Reverend Pomeroy and Reverend McAllister, do you know they took a perfectly good building and left it to come here because there wasn't enough parking and there wasn't an ability to grow and to reach more people for Christ? Do you know how bold that is? Right? I mean, I get scared to put a TV in the foyer because we're getting ready to bulletin boards and putting electronic video up. Hey, I get scared I might get shot at. Just kidding. These men shut down a church and moved to here so that they keep on sharing the good news. It takes bold action. It takes wanting to go that extra mile, to share that extra moment, that extra word. I asked this in our Galatians Bible study the other day. If a tornado, and it was windy that night, and it was storming pretty bad, and I said, if a tornado hit this building tonight and wiped it out completely, what would we do on Sunday morning? He said, well, we'd show up in the parking lot, and I think we'd try to have church. I said, absolutely, we would. Might go to the shelter house, might sit in a parking lot, might go out up to the stairs. I don't know what we'd do. But we would still be the church, the First Baptist. And we would gather and we would share and we would pray and we would sing and we would share this good news. Because this is just a tool and a method for God to change hearts and lives. Because what matters is what we saw this morning. Not that the baptism itself, but that represented the hearts and lives of people being changed. Because God is up to something. Amen? Aren't you thankful that God is changing hearts and lives in 2019 like he was in 1831? It's weird. I can't imagine what they dress like. I can't imagine how they... I can't imagine it. Nor could they have imagined us today. What's that thing on his head? It's a microphone. What's he need that for? Why can't he just yell real loud? I don't know. Right? Just a tool. It's a Sennheiser. Some people use a Shure. Some people use another different mic. Just a mic, just a tool. So that we can somehow share the Word of God that might make a difference if they'll let it. And God will start doing things we never even dreamed of. I'm going to ask Pam and Amanda and the band to come on up as we close in a word of song. Jesus said, we take a lamp and we put it on a stand and we let this light shine. We don't hide it. We don't put it under a bushel. We don't put it under the bed. We put it out there for all to see. Jesus said, we take his word. Jesus is the word. And we share this good news, this gospel message. And it takes root and it grows and it transforms lives. And that's why we do what we do. It's why I preach every Sunday. It's why we study his word. It's why we pray together, laugh together, cry together, become family together. Because God is up to something. in 2019, just as he was in 1832. Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you're just kind of watching this today, and you're just like, man, I don't know what's going on, but God is just gently tugging at your heart. The seed has been sown, and it's just been kind of growing there. And today, it's come to full bloom, and it's time for the harvest. And you just want to say to Jesus, Jesus, forgive me of my sins, and I want you to be my Lord and Savior. If that's your heart's cry, you don't know Jesus, and you want to today, would you just raise your hand and say, Brother Jim, pray for me as I want to give my life to Christ. Lord, bless you. Lord, bless you. Anyone else? Maybe you're a believer and you're just here saying, you know what? Sometimes I forget the Great Commission and what we're called to do. Sometimes I get caught up in all the things and the tools that it takes to do the ministry and not realize that God's word, his seed, is all that we need. And today, he's just refreshed my heart with that. And whatever God wants to do in this church and in my heart and this my life to reach people for Christ, I just want to be a part of that. If that's your heart's cry, would you just raise your hand and say, Pastor Jim, pray for me as I just commit myself to that. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Anyone else? Lord bless you. Awesome. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, I can't imagine the love that it took to leave your throne in heaven, to come to earth, to live a sinless life and then give up your life to die on a cross for us, to shed your blood to be atonement for our sins, and then on the third day to rise from the grave, to be our Lord and our Savior. Jesus, I can't imagine what that must have took, but I thank you. I thank you for doing that. Father, for those that raise their hand today to ask you to be Lord of their life, Father, may you just work in their heart right now. As they confess their sin and they give their life to Christ, will you just work in an awesome way? And Father, for those that are sitting here today that just say, you know what, Pastor Jim, God is up to something. I see him changing lives and growing in ways I never thought. I start to understand the word of God more as I read it. I start to understand as I pray, and God is doing something that I never really imagined or dreamed of, and I just want to be a part of what he's doing. So as I commit myself to that, God, will you just work in their life in a special way? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.